بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll begin, inshallah, where we left off. Because you don't have my copy, so I'm entirely sure where we dropped off, but I believe it was after the around the little famine. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الدليل الثامن, the eighth proof. كان الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله يذهب إلى شيخ في وقته بشر الحافي. إمام أحمد بن حنبل, of whom it was said that he had memorized 1,000,000 ahadith, subhanAllah. He used to go to a sheikh, he himself, right, you would imagine what his maqam is, the founder of one of the four major schools of legal thought in the deen, he himself would go to a sheikh that used to exist in his time by the name of Bishr al-Hafi. فَسَأَلَهُ الطُّلَّابُ يَوْمًا. So the students asked him one day, أَنْتَ مِنْ كِبَارِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, you are from the giants amongst the scholars. لِمَا تَذْهَبُ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ لَيْسَ بِعَالِمٍ, why do you go to someone who is not an alim? فأجاب الإمام أحمد, إمام أحمد رحمه الله, he replied, جوابا مذكورا في التاريخ, an answer that is recorded in history. وقال أنا عالم بكتاب الله, he said, I am a scholar with the book of Allah. وبشر عالم بالله, and بشر, يعني بشر الحافي رحمه الله, is عالم with Allah himself سبحانه وتعالى. وللعالم بالله فضل على العالم بكتاب الله تعالى. And for the one who knows Allah, it is superiority of above and over that of the one who knows the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. I think we might have done this example because I had mentioned that story, right, about the student who wanted to take Badr Hazraji, that he went to a scholar and had asked him, should I do so? And he said, yes, you can, but you know, you should find someone who's a scholar. We talked about you know, how he does have ijazah, perhaps not at that time, but he has, even if that were not the case, we have this situation where there's a difference between, you know, just being an alim in terms of the exoteric knowledge and the and having knowledge of the esoteric realm. So it should be known that all of the tasawwuf is still governed by knowledge of the Sharia. And that's why it is, you know, by and large, important to have knowledge of the Sharia. But a person, for example, doesn't necessarily have to know the rules of, you know, inheritance, for example, to be a pious person, so to speak, to be a godly person, so to speak. There's another point I wanted to make here. Recently, I guess, just this last week, there's some visitors that have come in, visitors from Saudi, and I was speaking with them, and he was talking about Mufti Nawal Rahman in Chicago, a great alim, subhanAllah. And he was saying that he met this one Mufti, and that he, even though he was a Mufti himself, he would always be running to sit in Hazrat's tafsir, and or on his bayanat. And so he was asked one time that, no, you, or this brother asked one time that, you know, mashallah, you yourself are sahib ilm. Why do you go and, you know, run and chase after sitting in each one of his bayans, and you're just, you know, always chasing behind him and trying to sit in his majalis? And he said that, you know, while it may be true that, let's say the fact that while it may be true that I'm a Mufti, that every time I sit in his majlis, every time I hear his tafsir, in fact, I don't know if it was the same person, but he said that every, it was said that every time the same tafsir is done every year, but every time I sit in the tafsir again, new anwarat and new meanings are open upon my heart. So this is the haqiqah of sitting with the Ahlullah. There is something beyond the book knowledge. There is something called the body of Islam, there is something called the soul of Islam. There is something called ilm, and there is something called amal. And amal is something that is learned from people of amal. There was a Jumaat that actually came yesterday, and it didn't come yesterday, it came December 3rd, I think, to the States from South Africa. So they had khutbah yesterday, or they had bayan before the khutbah yesterday. After the khutbah, they sat down with one of the brothers. He was asking me about the halat here in America. We were speaking, mashallah, and he said that, no, we went for mulaqat. With one of the brothers, and when we went for mulaqat, he was sitting with one of them, and he said that the brother said that, you know, straight out, he said to him that, you know, I don't want to come with you guys because I get bored. And he's like, you know, you guys just talk about the same old thing all the time, you know, they're just trying to be yaqeen, trying to say that the greatness of Allah all the time, and so on and so forth. They just talk about the same old thing, and he said, you know, kids, let me tell you something. Kids here are actively going and Googling, trying to find out proofs against the existence of Allah. He says, no, what you guys need to do, you guys need to get some PhDs, some people who are educated, and you need them to start giving your bayans in your mashallah so that they can connect with the kids. And then he gave up. I mean, he was a very simple brother, mashallah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the health on the tongue of everyone, subhanAllah. So he said that, you know, he basically replied, he said, which degree did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have? And he said that, you know, we're just going out, we have some fikr, we're trying to, you know, bring people closer to the deen. And he just explained to him in a very simple terms, mashallah. And I told him that, no, that's the reality about this, that this deen and this faith and this conviction of heart, this doesn't come with book knowledge. In fact, the greatest, you know, atheist you might find in universities, right, who might be teaching like Near Eastern studies or something, they have no belief, they have no iman whatsoever, fully kafir. Yaqeen doesn't come with ilm, it comes from the heart. And so finding the people of the heart is of paramount importance. The ninth dalil, سأل رجل الإمام أحمد بن حنبل ما الإخلاص. A person asked Imam Ahmed, what is إخلاص? He said, الإخلاص هو الخلاص من آفات الأعمال. He said, الإخلاص, it's actually a play on words. He said, الإخلاص for sincerity. He was asked, what is sincerity? He said, sincerity is to be saved from the trials and afflictions of one's deeds, or good deeds. So, and over here, you see the play on words, because khalas has the same type of root derivation as ikhlas. And what khalas refers to, what this refers to, is that when a person does good deeds, people generally think that when they do a good deed, this is a sabab for a person to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to earn his Jannah. But the people of ilm and the people of Allah, they realize that good deeds are a two-edged sword. They can take a person to Jannah, but they can also take a person to hell. Now a person will, you know, wonder, how can a person do a good deed and it will take them towards hell? But the very simple answer is that if a person does an action, instead of doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it for someone else. Instead of doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it for getting name. Instead of doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do it for getting fame. And such people, instead of getting reward on the day of Qiyamah, they will be thrown into the hellfire. The mujahid, the alim, the qadi, the hafiz, all of these people, they will be asked that, who did you do it for? And on that day, nothing is hidden before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is ever hidden before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on that day will be made manifest. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah was asked subsequently, فَسُوَيْلَ مَا التَّوَكُّلْ. And so he was asked, what is reliance on Allah? What is having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَأَجَابَ. And so he replied, أَثِّقَةُ بِاللَّهِ, being steadfast with Allah. having conviction with Allah. فَسُئِلَ مَا الرِّضَى. And he was asked what is being pleased with Allah. فَقَالَ تَسْلِيمُ الْأُمُورِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. That relinquishing matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually very deep, because people often, when they think about the maqam of radat al-qada, being pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, they basically size it up or conceptualize it as being pleased when something happens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. Then you basically do sabr in that situation, or you're happy with that situation. That is being radi with whatever what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. But Nazim ibn al-Hanbal shows, you know, how much ma'rifah he had. He took it a step further. He didn't say it's not being happy with the matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but letting the matter go completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning putting the reins in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're already in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand, but a person letting go from their own side and, you know, handing over the steering wheel of their life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you just say everything, ya Allah, it's towards you. And so that's a step even before before being pleased with whatever is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person who is being pleased with whatever is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're still, quote-unquote, steering their own ship. And then, like, a wave hits them, and then they say, oh, alhamdulillah. But over here, these are the people who realize that the ship, the steering wheel, the waves, the environment, the skies, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was asked that, what is love? يعني love for Allah. فقال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل سألوا عن هذه السؤال بشر الحافي. He said, ask بشر الحافي رحمه الله about this. لا أستطيع أن أجيب عن هذا ما دام حيا. He said, I can't answer this question. I'm not able to answer this question as long as he is alive. Surrender unto Caesar what is Caesar's. This is a classic example of even though he had so much ma'rifah and so much spirituality, it's not that he didn't have spirituality, but when it came to the actual aspect of having true muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he said, go and ask Bishr Hafi. I think Sheikh Ahmed, one time I was talking to him, and then after he gave a talk, someone came and asked him, he said, are you related to Sheikh Zulfiqar, are you not Dr. Mundi or something like that? He said, I guess he said yes. He said, how do you know? He said, no one else talks about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for you guys. So this is, when I sat with Hazaji one time, he said that, these are the things that you should give bayan about. And one of the things he mentioned is that, you know, there's a handful of things that you give when you give that talk about. And one of them is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, these are our pet topics. So, the reason it is his pet topic is because it's something that he embodies, that he internalized, and that he lives. But Dalil al-Ashir, the 10th proof, كَانَ مُرَبِّي الْإِمَامِ الْغَزَالِي فِي الْعُلُومِ الظَّاهِرِيَّةِ وَالْبَاطِنِيَّةِ الْخَوَاجَ أَبُو عَلِي الْفَارْمِدِي رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ. So, Imam Ghazali is a name that is not hidden to any one of the people who are listening. When a person thinks about the Sawuf, or when a person thinks about the Tazkiyah, he is, probably the first name, one of the first names that comes to mind. So, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, he was actually a very, 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 very great Hilmi scholar. And at a certain time, he actually left his position, the professorship, he left his uhda, he left everything, and he confined himself in the White Tower to develop spiritually. So his murabbi, or his teacher, his educator in the exoteric knowledge as well as the esoteric knowledge in academic studies as well as spiritual studies was a person known as Khawaja Abu Ali Farmidi Rahimahullah. And he's actually a great sheikh from our silsila. يعني هو شيخ قديم. He's a great sheikh from مشايخ السلسلة. النقشبندية from the نقشبندي silsila. And Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he actually says, إني أخذت الطريقة من أبي علي فارمدي. That I took tariqa, I took suluk, I took spiritual development from, or I learned these from Abu Ali Farmidi, rahimullah. وَانْتَصَلْتُ مَا كَانُوا يُشِيرُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَظَائِفِ الْعِبَادَاتِ. And he used to take to whatever he used to guide Imam Ghazali towards from the different regimens of spiritual ritual worship. وَاسْتِدَامَةِ الذِّكْرِ, and being always in a state of zikr and being perpetual in zikr. إِلَىٰ أَنْ جُسْتُ الْعِقَابَاتِ, until I was rewarded with the final outcomes. And he had reached those manazil in those heights that he had sought. وَتَكَلَّفَ تِلْكَ الْمَشَاقِ, and he basically undertook these difficulties and obstacles. وَحَصَّلْتُ مَا كُنْتَ أَطْلُبُهُ. No, maybe this was different. إِلَىٰ أَنْ جُسْتُ, until I was confronted, we can say, with different trials and difficulties. وَتَكَلَّفَ تِلْكَ الْمَشَاقِ, and I was encumbered with these difficulties. وَحَصَّلْتُ مَا كُنْتُ أَطْلُبُهُ, and then I finally arrived at what I was seeking. I have to look that up. Let me make a note to myself. See if I have that here in the other copy. Or open the Urdu copy. We can get to it. We'll keep on moving, and then I'll pull it out. I'll take a look at it, inshallah. الدليل الحادي عشر, the 11th proof, كان الإمام فخر الدين الرازي, and Imam Razi obviously is known as one of the greatest scholars. قد بايع الشيخ نجم الدين كبرى, and he took bayah on the hands of Sheikh نجم الدين كبرى. And so now what he's doing is now he's naming one great icon in Islamic history after another, one great hero of Islam after another, one great pious predecessor in Islam after another, and he shows how each one of them had rabita with the Sheikh and the spiritual guide. I'm looking at page about the Sheikh. What I saw in 43. Okay. 7. Oh, Washi, okay. 8, 9, 10. Okay, here's the quote. إني أخذت التاريخ. أوكي، مالي تاريخ التصوف، تاريخ الدسام الشيخ أولي فارمي ديسي أخسكيا هي عبادت اور ذکر میں ان کی دستور کو اپنانا ہے اپنایا ہے. So he basically imbibed within himself the regimen that was prescribed to him from ritual worship and zikr. اس طرح مجھے تکالیف سے نجات ملی اور مشقتوں سے چھٹکار ملا. اور جو that's what it means. Okay. Just over here doesn't mean recompense, it means that he was saved from pain, difficulty, and he was. What was that? Sorry. And he was, again, you could say, saved from difficulties. Where was that though? وحصلت ما كنت أطلبه, and that he was able to reach what he desired to reach. Okay. الدليل الثاني عشر, كان العارف الكامل المولى الرومي رحمه الله مبايا على يد الشيخ شمس تبريزي. تبريز, you know, the complete Gnostic, Jalaluddin al-Rumi, rahimahullah, he took bayah on the hands of, on the hand of Sheikh Shams Tabriz. وَفِيهِ يَقُولُ الْمَوْلَوِيِّ لَنْ يُقَالُ لَهُ مَوْلَى أَهْلِ الْرُومِ, that the people of Rome would not have called him Mawla, no, it would not have been said of him that he was the Mawla of the people of Rome, ma'alam yakun tabi'an li Shams Tabriz, if he was not a follower of Shams Tabriz. Whatever he achieved through the khidma and through the guidance of his own Sheikh Shams Tabriz. Next we have Dalilur Rabi Ashara. كان علامة محمد شريف جرجاني مباين على يد خواجة علاء الدين الأطار. يقول جرجاني في كتاب له, that علامة محمد شريف جرجاني, he took bayah on the hands of خواجة علاء الدين الأطار رحمه الله. And then Imam جرجاني رحمه الله, he says in a book that he had written, والله ما عرفت الحق سبحانه وتعالى, by God, I would not have, I swear by God that I would not have known the truth. May Allah, exalted be He, and glory be to Him, and exalted be He, ma'alam asil fi khidmat al-ata'ar, that as long as I had not reached or engaged in the khidmat of al-ata'ar, rahimullah. Allah asha waliullah, كتاب في ذكر حياته اسمه الجزء اللطيف في ترجمة العبد الضعيف. الشاولي الله رحمه الله, he wrote a book mentioning his own life, and it's called الجزء اللطيف, the subtle volume في ترجمة العبد الضعيف, in the explanation of the life of a weak slave. وهو القائل فيه, and he says in it, بايعت والدي, that I took bayah with my father when Ibn Khamsi Ashara Sanatan, and I was a child of 15 years. And you see this, sometimes children at a very young age, they get, you know, yaghwan, and they take bayah. I mean, I know a person who took bayah at the age of 12. In fact, I know a young girl, she took bayah at the age of, I think, 3 or 4. From our own accord, she said, I want to take bayah. He died that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that. And then later on, when she became older, she would do fakhr, you know. She said, subhanAllah, I took bayah when I was such and such age, something that she used to feel proud about. وَاشْتَغَلْتُ فِي الْأَوْرَادِ الصُّوفِيَّةِ, and he busied himself in the litanies of the Sufis. وَخَاصَةٌ أَوْرَادِ الْمَشَائِخِ النَّقْشْبَنْدِيَّةِ, and particularly in the litanies of the Naqshbandi Mashayikh, وَانْتَفَعْتُ بِتَلْقِينِهِمْ, and I benefited from their teachings, وَتَوَجُّهِهِمْ, and their tawajjuhat, spiritual energy, حَتَّى أَخَذْتُ عَذَابِ الطَّرِيقَ, until I learned and acquired the manners of tariqa, the spiritual path, والخرقة الصوفية, and the Sufi cloth. And this was often given, basically used as a mark for a person, you know, basically gaining the nisba, gaining Wisamat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you know, a degree, so to speak. You know how people get khilafah? This was in that time, when a person would get khilafah, they would be given the khilqa, so to speak. وَأَصْلَحْتُ, or something to that effect, وَأَصْلَحْتُ سِلْسِلَةِ الرُّوحَانِيَّةِ, and I corrected my spiritual condition. So Shawliullah, and for people who don't know, this is, you could say, like the godfather of you know, Devandi Islam, or traditional Islam in India. In fact, he's the one who had gone to the Haram, and he's also known as Shawliullah Muhaddith Jalwi. He's the one who actually brought Hadith scientists to the Indian subcontinent. And then through his barakat, he became the fountainhead, and it grew until, you know, the way that knowledge works is that there's a barakat for knowledge for so many years in a certain place. So the barakat of knowledge initially was, of course, Saudi, right? It was Mecca, then moved to Medina, but it was in the Arabian Peninsula. Then it moved to Baghdad, then it moved to, you know, the central provinces of Russia, and where the great khidmat of the deen was done. For example, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslims, Imam Nasai, so on and so forth. They all lived in the same era, in the same provinces. And so the great khidmat, and so kept this light of knowledge, kept on, torch of knowledge, kept on moving until in most recent ages it moved to the Indian subcontinent, where you look at the type of khidmat of the deen that was done by our scholars, you will not see any type of similar sophistication, similar depth, and similar magnitude of khidmat in any place in the world other than the Indian subcontinent, India and Pakistan. I mean, one person, one scholar was such, there were giants, right? That's the word I was looking for, kibarul ulama, yani giants amongst the scholars. There were giants such that one scholar would author 700 kutub. You know, you can just begin to imagine their ilm and their ruhaniya. An example of this is Shah Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dalwi, I believe, who's in the next one, right? Al-Dalil al-Khamis Ashar. Kana alaqatu al-Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dalwi, he lived around 950 in the Christian era. And he himself, I think, had authored 100 kitabs. Great scholar. That he, his spiritual connection was with Khaji Baqi Billah Rahimullah, who is also one of our mashayikh in our silsila. Mashayikh of the silsila Naqshbandiya. I'm sorry, I'm just giving a text. Ad-Dalil Sadish Ashara, the sixth proof is يقول شاه ولي الله محدث دلوي سيم شاه ولي الله لتحارة الأرض النجاسة طريقتان, for the purification of an impure earth there are two methods. الأول أن ينزل عليها من المطر ما يسيل من النجاسة. That first you pour water, the rain pours on it, such that it carries away the impurity. The impurity runs away with the water. والثاني أن تلمع عليها الشمس حتى تحرق النجاسة. That the sun shines upon it until it burns away the impurity. كذلك أرض القلب, such as the earth of the heart, مطهراني, that there are two things to purify it. The first one is Zikrullah Ta'ala wa huwa kalmatur. First is the Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His like rain. Wa Shaykhul Kamil. And the second one is a Kamil Shaykh, huwa kashams, and he is like the sun. Yatatahharu al-qalbi zikr, that he purifies the heart with zikr. Wa bi tawajjuhat al-shaykh al-kamil aydan, and also with the spiritual attention and spiritual energy of the kamil shaykh as well. The kamil shaykh is usually a perfected shaykh. الدليل السابع عشر. I can try to finish at least this section for it, and then we'll close. الدليل الثامن عشر كان المولانا محمد قاسم نانوتوي ومولانا رشيد أحمد جنجوهي بل جنجوهي رحمه الله تعالى من شموس وأقمار العين. مولانا قاسم نانوتوي was the first student of Darul Uloom Deoband. So مولانا قاسم نانوتوي and Mawlana Rashid Ahmed Gongoi, also one of the Akabir Rahimullah, they are from the suns and moons of knowledge. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ كَانَ لَهُمَ عَلَاقَةُ الْبَيْعَ بِشَيْخ حَاجِ إِمْدَادُ اللَّهِ وَالْمُحَاجِرِ الْبَكِّي رَحِيمُ اللَّهِ. And along with that, they had spiritual connection and spiritual bay'ah with the Shaykh Al-Hajj, حَاجِ إِمْدَادُ اللَّهِ وَالْمُحَاجِرِ الْبَكِّي, the one who had migrated to Mecca. But he is just known as Haji Imdadullah al-Muhajir al-Makki. وَقَدْ دَرَسَ الشَّيْخَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَى الْكَافِيَةِ أي إِلَى الدَّرَجَةِ الثَّانَوِيَّةِ الْعَامَةِ فَقَدْ. And the amazing thing is that you look at Rashid Ahmed Gongohi and Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi, they wrote such kitabs which are so deep that the people who graduate top of their class, they can hardly understand it. I mean, they're so deep and metaphoric and abstract, extremely philosophical, difficult works. I mean, particularly the Mawlana Nanotwi had written. There's one kitab that's escaping me that he'd written, Allahu Akbar Kabira. So, and they had their spiritual connection with who? Haji Imdadullah. And Haji Imdadullah, rahimullah, he only studied through Kafiya. Right, in terms of his ilmi studies, yani till the second grade, which is like amma year, faqat. So, subhanAllah, yet he was such a great arif billah, you know, that he benefited. الدليل التاسع عشر استفاد بعض العلماء من عدة مشايخ ففاز الخواجة أبو سعيد بمقام الرجاء من شيخ الرازي وبمقام الغيرة من شيخ شجاع الكرماني ومقام الشفقة من أبي حفص العداد. So some ulama, they actually took benefit from numerous mashayikh. For example, ففاز خواج الدين أبو سعيد سفاج أبو سعيد. And so when you see the name Khaja, there was, I mean, in our sinsa, you will see that, you know, there's a certain phase where they say Khaja so-and-so, and Khaja so-and-so, and Khaja so-and-so. And basically, those were like, you can consider the Jedi Knights of the Sinsala, right? They were like, and so they're known the Khawaja. And that's the Khatam that we do, actually on a weekly basis, is the Khatam Khawaja. That's actually derived from these, this group of scholars, the Khawajas, and what they had actually gone so deep in zikr that through Kashfin and Ham, so on and so forth, that there was particular askar that they found particularly benefit, and so then they included in the litany that's done weekly, because they wanted others to also benefit from the benefit of that, you know, particular verse or that particular dua. So Abu Sa'id, he achieved the maqam of Raja from Sheikh Razi. And so each one of this, I think in one of my lectures I've spoken before about, you know, hal and maqam. Hal is something which comes and it leaves. And so it's good a person can have the hal of Raza, and so they can be in a state of rida, but it's not necessarily a permanent caliph, or when a person keeps on doing mujahada, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the maqam of raja, where it's a permanent state. That so raja, for example, is of hope. وَلَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So he arrived at the haqiqa of raja, of hope, from Sheikh Razi. He achieved maqam al-ghira. There's no good translation for ghira in the English language, but it is a type of jealousy, honor, nobility, all wrapped up in one. And he got this from Shah Shuja' Kirmani. And he got the maqam al-shafaqa. He achieved that from Abi Hafs al-Haddad. So, and then the last dalil from the chapter, the 20th proof, يقول الشيخ أبو علي رايبوري رحمه الله أبو علي رايبوري, he says أستاذي في التصوف الشيخ جنيد البغدادي رحمه الله تعالى, that my أستاذ in التصوف was جنيد البغدادي رحمه الله. وفي علم الفيق الشيخ أبو العباس ابن شريح رحمه الله, in الفيق it was ابن شريح رحمه الله. And in النح سعلم رحمه الله, and in النح it was سعلم رحمه الله. وفي الحديث الشريف, and in the noble hadith it was إبراهيم رحمه الله. وكفى بهذه العلوم لإصلاح النفس, and these knowledges are enough to correct a person's own self. فتبين من هذه الحقائق أن كل واحد من مشاهير الأمة, and it is made abundantly clear from these haqa'if, from these realities, that every single one from the famous personalities of the ummah, wajada manazila aliyah, achieved high or lofty states, bittarabbi tahta dhilli shaykhin kamil, that with the tarbiyah and education and tutelage underneath the shade of a perfected shaykh. When arad al yawm سالك أن يبلغ إلى هذه المنزلة, if a spiritual aspirant this in this day and age would want to reach these states and these levels, فلا بد أن يسلك هذه المسالك, that there's no way around traveling these paths, التي وجد بها السلف الصالحون, by which the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, that they arrived at, or they found with it, ni'mat al-wusul ila Allah ta'ala, that the blessing of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I mean, you take Imam Khuzali, rahimahullah, you take Imam Razi, rahimahullah, you take Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, you take Imam Hanifa, you take Imam Shafi, you take Imam, I mean, he gave example after example after example after example of all, basically, you know, the kabir from our entire ummah, and how each one of them had a teacher that benefited them in a spiritual sense. I think Sheikh Chani was here too. Did I skip that? I thought I had read that when I was reading over the lesson for today. I skipped 13. No, I probably mentioned it. Mawlana Jami, right? Al-Mashhur fil Jami, it's just for people who don't know who is Jami. He was a great scholar, and a great poet as well. I think he wrote something like The Garden of Roses or something like that. A great poet as well, who had, you know, many invites to become a part of the royal court. He denied them all. And he lived, he preferred the ascetic life of a Sufi and that of a scholar over being a court poet. So khair inshallah, so the take-home point is Arakavir, all the great scholars of the past, the great scholars of the past, you look at them, by and large, they reach their end by coming under the tutelage of a Kamil Sheikh. And so, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with righteous teachers on our heads, and that's one of the biggest blessings in our lives. know, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us Islam. He's given someone to, in our lives to explain to us Islam as well. You know, their du'as, their sacrifices. I mean, we can only pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the best of in this life, in the present, the akhirah. And we make du'a for them, you know, regularly, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest maqam in Jannah, in Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they really have become a sabab and a means for us to advance and really understand the deen. So next week, inshallah, we'll discuss alamat al-shaykh al-kamil, the signs of a perfected shaykh. What does it mean for a shaykh to be kamil? And then if there's any questions, you can unmute yourself, I think, by pressing star 5. I can unmute you guys. No. Right, everyone's unmuted now. So, does anyone have any questions that they have? If not, then inshallah, we'll continue next week, inshallah. Alright, so that's one of the things. Now, what is the one?